Recalibration Matrix is sponsored by Discount Games, Inc. and Muzon Minis. Discount Games, Inc. offers the maximum allowed discount on Marvel Crisis Protocol. When you order $30 or more, you will receive free domestic shipping. Visit us at www.discountgamesinc.com. Muzon Minis creates the highest quality gaming accessories. You can buy our product at www.museonstore.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Recalibration Matrix. I am your host, Jay Larson, and joining me this week, as always, is your friendly neighborhood,
Greg Webster.
Hello, Greg.
Hello, Jay.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing all right. Doing all right. How about you?
I'm glad to hear that. I'm okay. I couldn't fall asleep last night until, like, you know, 5:30, and so slept in later than I wanted to. But other than that, doing okay. So I am kind of excited. Brian and I are going to go to Yellowstone this weekend, which I have never been to Yellowstone in the winter. So I am excited for that. We're not going to do, so they do a bunch of like, you can do snowmobile stuff or you can do like snow cats. And there's like no universe in the world where I would consider going in a snow cat with other people right now. So we're basically just going to there's a part of Yellowstone called Mammoth that is kind of the headquarters of the park near the northern entrance. And so we're just going to go there, and they have a bunch of like boardwalks for the geothermal stuff that is going on there. And so we'll walk that.
That sounds really cool, though.
Yeah, we watched a BBC documentary recently on Yellowstone, and it was three parts, and the winter part of it was just pretty fascinating because they get like 30 feet of snow in the winter in parts of the park, and it's crazy. But
I don't think I'd be able to handle that, but that sounds awesome. You have fun.
Okay, we'll try to. So What about you, Greg? I understand that you've been like part of this army of edgelords that are trying to bring down capitalism.
I wouldn't say edgelords. And my personal goal. Okay, so when I sold my house, I had all this money that I tried to reinvest in, so I've been trying to learn what I'm doing.
Okay, well, we'll continue this conversation, then, and I'll give you the answer at the end. But
I'm not gonna. You
already know the answer.
You're trolling. But
no, this isn't a troll.
Okay. No, so I found Wall Street Bets like four weeks ago, and I was reading all their stuff about GameStop. And if you're listening close to the release date, so today is the 28th, and
today's the day that like Robinhood and all the
almost all of them, Jay. Almost all of the day trading programs and websites, like
they've declared
Carl
war.
Schwab won't let you buy So basically, I bought some GameStop when it was very low, and I sold it when I made a very small amount of profit. And I was like, "Wow, I made money! I don't want to risk not making money." And then I got back in and I bought more GameStop stocks. And now it's looking like it was honestly, Jay, I was expecting it to get up to $500 or $600 a share today. And
right, yeah,
the big boys have organized to halt buying,
right,
and intentionally drive the prices down.
Right.
Which is funny to me, Jay, because yesterday several people I knew were telling me that people sharing information on Reddit about what is a good purchase or not is price manipulation, and many of those people are very silent and it's just like,
have any of them turned on their effing television to CNBC? Just
I don't I don't want to engage with a lot of these people right now. Because,
right, yeah.
So for me, I was just like, I'm learning about stocks, and I'm not, like, I saw there's some dude who spent, like, $5 million buying GameStop, and I'm like, you can sell it now and retire, buddy. Like, you won, but he's still holding, and I don't know. It's very... This whole thing is silly, and my personal situation is I sold a friend's
$20,000 off of it, which
nice. Good
sounds
for him.
Great, right?
Yeah. Well, so for me, I have made a small amount of money, wherein I am at zero risk of losing money at this point. And so I sold enough that I covered my expenses.
Right.
Yeah. And I will see how this goes, and like, it might become a down payment on my house, or it might be a nice meal I go to once you and me get back together, right? Like, it could be
me and Chili.
It could be a meal, or it could be a house. We'll see where this goes. And at this point, there's a part of me that is like, yeah, I want to burn down these fucking hedge funds. And I wasn't on board until they started this stuff. Like this is pure...
It can't be legal.
Because it's like, so it's basically a hedge fund has told Robinhood to stop selling these things because this hedge fund does
their
business.
It's the biggest customer of Robinhood.
And they're leveraging their, like, their relationship with these day trading programs and apps. At no point, by the way, I use Vanguard, and I don't think they've fucked anybody over. So if you want to find one that doesn't suck, use Vanguard. Their app isn't as good, but they don't try to stop you from making money. And I'm playing. It's basically, this is a game to me right now. I hope nobody's losing money on this. And if you want to talk about it to me privately, everybody, please private message me. But, like, this is so silly.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, what you're doing is kind of like a legalized version of, you know, betting on NFL teams, right? Or any other type of gambling. It feels like there's very little difference between between the two to me. And which is fine if you realize that that's what it is or that's what you're doing. Me personally, I don't want to really like bank my retirement on, you know, whether the Kansas City Chiefs win the Super Bowl in a week and a half.
Yeah.
But
that's the thing, right? Some people are willing to do that.
Yes.
I think part of my thing is whenever I think about my money, I'm like, it's basically my kids' money at this point. I just need to take care of it and like make sure I live long enough. So that was kind of my, I can't put myself in that position.
Let me try to find the book I'm thinking of real quick. There was a, finance book, that I read that I thought was, really good. The name of the book is The Index Card, Why Personal Finance Doesn't Have to Be Complicated. And kind of the gimmick of the book is that, like, there's a few, like, personal finance axioms that could fit on a, on a little index card,
mm-hmm.
that if you follow those, you'll be set financially. And, like, their boring advice on the stock market is that they screw you over with fees and they don't provide a service that is worth the fees. And so just invest in a low fee index fund and you'll make more money. But that's the dry boring advice that I promised at the end.
Yes. For me, a lot of this is I'm trying to learn because there's so many weird things happening right now. And I'm just like, right. What does that mean? What does that mean? What? And by the way, if you're interested, Investopedia is a really good resource.
I have a friend who, her son is, his high school class is doing a one of like a high school stock market competition right now, And, you know, he's like, what should I buy, Jay? And I was like, well, he already had some games stop. But I was like, you know, get some Bed Bath & Beyond, get some BlackBerry, et cetera, right?
Yeah.
And it was kind of funny. Like, so on the one hand, like, this seems like an awful, awful time to try to be having these lessons with trying to teach a class to, like, high school kids or whatever. But, mm-hmm. But I mean, I guess there comes a point where, like, I have a friend who is in, like, his early 30s, and he's struggles a lot with feeling like he can't get ahead. And, like, occasionally he'll send me memes, like, about how millennials are go through, like, a once-in-a-lifetime catastrophe every 2 or 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, that feels about right.
Yeah, and it's, you know, there comes a point where it's like, these aren't once-in-a-lifetime anymore. And so, anyways, the part of the reason why I brought up my friend's kid that I was talking to, it is kind of funny to look at, like, different logical fallacies that are kind of inherent with just being human. And so, like, he's like, you know, I have this stock MasterCard, and, you know, it's down a little bit, so I can't sell it because I have to wait for it to come back up. So it was kind of interesting talking him through, like, some various strategies and stuff like that. And mm-hmm. and I guess maybe I think in a lot of ways doing gaming maybe helps a little bit with spending time thinking about those things. But anyways, the world's crazy. Still crazy.
Yes.
Okay, well, we went off on a bit of a tangent there on the intro, but we're ready to talk about Wolverine.
Yeah, let's talk about the opposite of the stock market and investing. Fucking Wolverine. Let's go.
Before you dive in, this is going to be, I guess, appropriate for for this comic book arc. And so Scornergy posted, like, this Tumblr meme or something about, it was basically like this run-on joke about how, first off, the first opening of it is like how supervillains hate the X-Men because they always have, like, a different team and it's always different people. And then they're like, oh, but the caveat is that Wolverine is always there. Mm-hmm. No matter which team is there, Wolverine is there. In the future, Wolverine is there. In an alternate reality, Wolverine is there. Is Wolverine dead? Wolverine is there. And then it just keeps going on that theme.
Is Wolverine there? Another Wolverine is there. Yeah, it's a good one. And it's oddly true in the comics as well. Like, that's just really on point. Wolverine is like the Forrest Gump of the Marvel Universe. He's everywhere important.
Everywhere, at any time. Yeah.
And he's, like, either in the background or he's, like, influencing someone else or he's, but yeah, so this is just the classic, like, Wolverine is probably the most consistently popular Marvel character.
Hmm.
Like, other characters have popularity surges, and, like,
I would have assumed it would have been Spider-Man.
So Spider-Man is probably more iconic and more, like, marketed for sure. But yeah, I would say they're close. Wolverine,
so,
Spider-Man.
I am curious, before we dive in, I want you to, I guess, answer a question for me, Greg.
Sure.
Okay. So most of my exposure to Wolverine has been the Gene. I was going to say the wrong name. Who's the guy who plays Wolverine in the movies currently?
His name is
Hugh Jackman.
Jackman.
Okay.
Yeah,
I was going to say, like, Gene Hackman or something. I don't know why, but which isn't.
That's really far off, Jay.
Yeah, right. Like, the coach of Hoosiers is buffing out and et cetera. So, okay, Hugh Jackman. So most of my exposure to Wolverine has been Hugh Jackman playing his version of Wolverine.
Mm-hmm.
So what would you say are the main differences between, like, Hugh Jackman Wolverine and the comic book version of Wolverine?
You know, they're pretty accurate in most ways, but the Hugh Jackman Wolverine is a very toned down Wolverine because the situations he's in are less terrible and violent. Because, like, Wolverine has probably killed, like, over 2,000 characters in comics. He is just constantly in those situations where he's, like, murdering people, and, like, his wounds are always to the extreme, right? Like, if Wolverine fights someone, they're gonna, like, cut body parts off or blow him up or, like, melt his face off or, and so I would say it's, the Hugh Jackman portrayal is pretty accurate. It's just not enough. Like, he needs to drink more. He needs to smoke more. He needs to fuck more. He needs to get worse wounds and fight more evil enemies. And, like, the tragedy needs to be cranked up higher.
Yeah, I guess so. Because I'm used to that version of Wolverine, like, when I read him in the comics, sometimes he feels kind of over the top to me.
Yes. And that depends on the writer.
Right. Yeah. Also, I appreciate that Hugh Jackman doesn't do, like, this unbearable accent.
Yeah.
So that's nice.
Bub.
Yeah. I real quick, a funny side story, and then we'll dive in. So the first role-playing game that I ever played was the old Marvel role-playing game.
Nice.
And had a friend that ran it for us, and my character's name was Joe Human, and so in that game, if you kill anyone, you do not get experience for, you know, the session that you're doing, and so we would be like having these we'd be doing a battle and someone would get hurt and be like, no, don't let them die. We can't let the enemies die, right? Like, we were super over the top concerned about not letting anyone die because we wanted our experience. And then I went to X-Men 2 with my friend who played in the campaign with me. And in that movie, there's, you know, the bad guys come and assault Xavier's Academy, and Wolverine just, like, goes to town on the people, you know, that are attacking the Academy and kills a ton of people. And we finish the movie and we're walking out, and my friend and I look at each other and we're just, like, making jokes about how Wolverine wasn't getting any experience for that movie. And it was just kind of funny how kind of different that was to what we're used to in the game, and I guess with a lot of Marvel too.
That explains why he never gets better at anything.
Right?
He's
yeah.
been doing the exact same thing for like 60, 70 years. So, yeah, no. Well, I will say there's a good number of Wolverine comics that are just badly done because they're too much. Mm-hmm. My personal favorite Wolverine comics are when he's, like, teamed up with Spider-Man, or when he's with Kitty Pryde, or with Magic, or, like, some other character that makes it less that makes him less, like, edgy, because he's like, I'm with this person who isn't me, and I can't just murder everyone. But yeah, so we are reading Logan, written by Brian K. Vaughan. Now, we've actually talked about Brian K. Vaughan before, because he is the writer of Why the Last Man, and I consider him one of the best comic writers around. And so, is there anything else you want to say before I dive into quick summary?
Nope, let's dive in.
Okay, quick summary. Wolverine got
Real quick. Okay. I'm sorry.
I knew you had something, Jay.
I like is there a canonical start of Wolverine? Like, I saw the crappy Civil War movie.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm just curious. This obviously is taking place during World War II.
Yeah.
You had said like 60, 70 years, which,
yeah, he's older than that.
Yeah. It, okay. So
he was born in the 1830s, I think, in like a Canadian, like, he was like a rich kid in Canada who, like, he accidentally killed his mother at near birth or at birth. And, like, he's fought in basically, like, every modern war. Like, so the crappy Marvel movie was actually pretty close to accurate.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah. Anyway,
it is also kind of interesting to me that he's a Canadian, but he keeps, like, getting involved in American conflicts.
Well,
instead of being, like, just having a jolly time and saying a boot.
Yeah, I mean, so usually, yeah, he it's not necessarily American, right? Like, Magneto's gonna destroy humanity, or...
Well, like, again, I'm not gonna say that this is canon, but he's involved in the Civil War, he's in World War II, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry, I will cease my interruptions and allow you to proceed.
Okay, so... So, when we read House of M, one of the main things at the end is that Wolverine has all his memories. Wolverine, for, like, 50 years... 50? 40, probably, closer to. But, like, Wolverine has constantly been, like, he doesn't know his backstory, right? Like, he doesn't know where he's from, really. He doesn't know... He forgets... He's had, like, because of the adamantium that was put into him relatively recently... and the trauma and, like, the brainwashing, he's never had full memories of his life. And so when Wanda put things back to normal, for some reason, Wolverine got to keep his memories of his entire life. So this is him basically going back to, like, a place he visited, to kind of remember a woman that he forgot. So I will say that Wolverine keeps falling in love with Japanese women, and then they keep dying tragically. And so this is, from what I can tell, the first one. So he is going to this shrine in the modern time while he's remembering how he escaped from being a prisoner of war with a another soldier called Howlett. No, that's his actual name. Warren. So Logan and Warren escape, and then they find this Japanese woman, and Wolverine protects her, and then she takes him back, and they spend the night together, they do sexy times together.
Yeah, and before that, Warren, like, wants to, he like, spews off a bunch of racism, and wants to kill the Japanese woman, and Wolverine's like, hit the road, bub.
Yeah, so... So the next
there
the
was
next
there was part
day,
of me that thought that Warren was going to be Sabretooth, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't remember exactly Sabretooth's history super well, but I'm pretty sure he has, like, he's always looked like Sabretooth. But so the next day Warren comes back and he kills Atsuko, and they have a big fight, and turns out that Warren has a mutant ability where he takes wounds, but he just doesn't die. So he's got bullet holes and stab wounds, and it just doesn't hurt him, and he can't be killed. So we've got Wolverine healing and Warren just not dying. And they have a big fight, and then at the end of the issue, they drop the nuclear bomb on them, because it turns out that... I believe it told us that we're in Nagasaki, but it is...
Hiroshima.
Oh, it's Hiroshima, I'm sorry. So it's Hiroshima, and it's 1945, and they drop the bomb. And so it shows, you know, Wolverine just completely destroyed and nasty. And so Wolverine survives, and we assume he wanders off and doesn't realize that Warren somehow survived. So the monster that attacks Wolverine in the very beginning is, like, the flaming skeleton of Warren trying to kill Wolverine for revenge. And so they have this big fight, and the claws go right through Warren. And so Warren has basically been, like, almost a ghost haunting this place, because he can't seem to get a physical body.
Yeah, his superpower is that, like, he
just doesn't die.
He just doesn't die.
Yeah.
And he, like, if someone shoots him in the chest, he, like, that bullet hole doesn't heal up, but it doesn't kill him.
Yeah. So they're fighting.
Kind of crappy.
It seems like a bad power to have. Yeah, but he says it doesn't hurt. So, but yeah, so he rips out Wolverine's heart and he eats it and he gets a physical body back. And then he's kind of talking about.
Real quick, appreciate when he eats the heart. He basically does this monologue where he's like, yeah, I really have no idea why this works, and there's really no storyline justification for it. But I knew it would, and it did, so here we are. That may not be an exact quote. It's a paraphrase.
It's weird. Yeah, the whole, like, I eat your heart and I get my humanity. I get a body back is strange. Yeah. And he still has nuclear powers. Like, he still blasts Wolverine with a nuclear blast when they're fighting. So it's strange. But, and so they, Wolverine basically doesn't die. Like, his heart being ripped out, like, right. He's still recovering. But he has this image of Atsuko. And she's kind of talking to him and like, oh, you're not going to die. You're growing back your heart. But and he has these memories of her that he obviously, it's interesting to me because he came here to like kind of remember her more and to visit the place where he lost her. And she was this one night stand, but it was something more important to him than that. And then we have this like racist monster ghost guy that he has to fight. And so it's pretty simple, right? He just cuts the guy's head off, and then he's dead after that. And then he kind of sees Atsuko again, and she offers to remove the memories.
Yeah, it's kind of like a dream state.
Yeah, like I can remove these memories, the pain and the joy. What will it be? And then it kind of shows Wolverine waking up the next day and standing up, and that's where the comic leaves us. So we don't know if Wolverine has abandoned these memories or if he still has them. And they're not the memories aren't important to future comics. So it kind of leaves us that ambiguous ending. Did Wolverine hold on to them or did he forget? And so I thought this was a really nice standalone comic.
Yeah, I mean, so I will start off by saying that I did enjoy this comic. So, point A is that. What did you think of the ending?
I liked it. I liked the, cause the whole thing is him, like, I've got these memories back. I went back because I wanted to read a couple of the, like, interior monologue parts and the whole bit about, It's the women that died because I fell in love with them that keep me up at night.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that is damaging Logan is remembering the love interest that he couldn't save. He's like talking about how those are the things that he can't handle. Right. And so he comes back here to kind of maybe, I don't know if he was coming to try to like, find her grave or make amends or just remember her in some way. Because really, like, the whole story is about her and remembering her. So I hope he didn't. I hope he didn't give up her memory. But I'm kind of leaning towards he did, like, forget her at the end. It looks so peaceful at the end. The last
two
pages so, like, beautiful. And it's like they it's almost like watercolor backgrounds, and Wolverine's like standing in shadows. So I think he gave her up.
So I did like the comic book arc. There were a few things that sometimes it felt like it was an English major who was trying to show how, I don't know, show off their writing abilities or something. And like, I guess the two things that make me kind of say that is the, you know, it starts off with him having the encounter at the castle and you don't know what's going on. And then it does a time jump back and like it has these time jumps going on. And so it sometimes that felt to me like they were trying to be more clever than just saying like a sequential story.
Mm-hmm.
And then also at the end, so I think this is personally probably just like a personal foible of mine. But I tend to, so for example, Inception is a movie that's one of my favorite movies, but it goes to the end and like people will end up obsessing about the ending, about, you know, is he actually in reality or is he out of reality? And I usually just get kind of annoyed that they don't say one way or the other and am unwilling to put the to obsess over it as a lot of people do. So like I guess, I don't know. I don't know which one he did, and I probably would have preferred that they would have like explicitly stated, and it feels I don't know. I guess I don't enjoy it as much when they kind of leave it up in the air and, you know, leave it for the reader to decide. But
so I have had similar thoughts about that before. And I really do think that they intended us to think, like, the way that they show the red sky, the red dawn at the very end of the comic, it's really reminiscent of the background in the end of comic one, where it shows like the rice paddies and the sunset while he's kissing Atsuko and laying down with her. And I think it's trying to show like that Wolverine's at peace now. And so I think it really is showing us that like he either forgot her on purpose or he's at peace carrying the memory and it's not tearing him up inside.
Right.
So I think it can go either way. And I like either interpretation pretty well. Like fighting Warren maybe helped him deal with things and get and accept her, you know, his loss of this woman that he forgot, right?
Right. Right. So what did you, I guess, first off, any info on the creative team behind this?
Yeah. So, Brian K. Vaughan is, the author, and he is the writer of Why the Last Man. He's the author of Pride of Baghdad, which I still maintain is like one of the greatest graphic novels ever made. He wrote some graphic novels. Saga is extremely popular. Paper Girls. He wrote Runaways, which was a TV a Marvel TV show. And I think they still bring the Runaways out for Marvel Comics every once in a while. He's a real good comic writer, and he usually doesn't write like mainstream Marvel comics. So him writing this, obviously, it's part of the reason why it's just three issues that kind of stand alone. And then the art was done by Risso and White, which I am not familiar with, but I really like how they did this. So Dean White did the colorist, and Eduardo Risso was the artist. And it's got, so like the art has a lot of shadows. It's very dynamic looking. And they use a lot of shadows to like add depth to a lot of the scenes, which is really cool. It's not just, you know, showing someone being dark and grim. Like I think my favorite panel is Wolverine puts his hand up and there's just a big shadow on his face of his hand. I thought this was just a really nicely done comic, but I am not familiar with Rizzo or White.
So I had kind of mixed feelings on the artwork.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of seemed like it, it almost felt like it had a watercolor style to it, which I thought was interesting, and I did appreciate that. There were some panels or parts of where they were drawing where like the people they were drawing were just like so ugly that it was a little bit hard to get past that. Like, not just Warren, which there were certainly a lot of panels where Warren looked really bad, but Wolverine as well.
Mm-hmm.
Which you know, I'm assuming that was probably their intent. But that part kind of came off weird to me.
Yeah. So I'm more into the shading and the watercolor like that they did. But you're right. All the people do look really simplistic in some ways.
Yeah, there's some of them where it almost felt like it could have been like a drawing of a caveman or something.
Yeah, I mean, so if you look at Atsuko in a lot of her panels, she is just very simply drawn.
Yes, uh-huh.
And I think that's very interesting.
Or, like, some of the best drawings of her were stuff that were more like silhouettes instead of them messing up her facial features.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There was another thing I didn't like about the art specifically, but it's when Warren comes to kill Atsuko, they keep showing Atsuko doing these like ninja jumps where she's like at some points where it shows the background, she looks like she's like 5 feet in the air jumping, like she's like wire kung fu.
That's what ninjas do.
Ninja. That's racist. She's not a ninja, Jay. Just because she's Japanese doesn't mean she's a ninja. I mean, like, and it clearly presents that she's just like a normal farmer's daughter who's been left behind, right, because of the war. So her having immaculate, like, jumping ninja skills is kind of silly, I thought.
That's fair enough. I will say, though, you know, I complained a bit about some of the drawings, but I do think the watercolor-ish effect is kind of cool. And I also thought that there were, like, especially at the very end when you talked about him, it kind of depicting him having coming to peace, etc. I thought a lot of those, there were parts of it that were beautiful visually, and so those parts I thought were definitely a success.
Mm-hmm. So you know what I hate?
I don't.
You know how when they released Blade Runner in theaters, they added the Harrison Ford like narrating to the beginning?
I didn't know they did that.
Oh, okay. They did that. It's been removed in almost every single version released afterwards, so maybe that's why you didn't know that.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't watch it in the theaters because I didn't watch rated R movies back then. I've since watched it on, like, streaming or something like that. Yeah, but...
and it doesn't have it anymore because everybody hated it. The first two pages of this comic have some really terrible, like, Wolverine self-narrating, and it would be so much better if they removed it, because these first two pages are footsteps in the snow leading up to a temple, footsteps going up to the temple, like Wolverine's silhouette as he's entering, and then he makes a sniff, right? Wow, really beautiful. And then the words on it are jarring and bad. When you rip a guy's heart out, the blood inside stinks of hot iron and dead blossoms. After all these years, that's still what Japan smells like to me. In case you hadn't heard, I'm what they call a mutant. Who the fuck is reading a Wolverine comic? And they're like, oh, a mutant, what does that mean? You know, what? I'm sorry, but it's two of the most beautiful pages in all the comics that they did, and they put this, like, really unnecessary dialogue, like, interior monologue. I was cursed with a body that just won't break, no matter what the world does to it. It is unnecessary, and I really wish that, I really wish I hadn't seen it. And then it goes to, like, Wolverine getting ready to fight on the next page, right? And I'm just like, it would have been better without all that meh.
Yeah, that's fair. I thought that was... I definitely got to the part of the, like, heart and smells of iron, etc., and started feeling a little bit of trepidation for what I was buckled in for. But it was fine.
Yeah. I did like how after Warren like hits him, he says the like I can recover from just about anything, but getting my heart ripped out, because we're taking it figuratively because he's talking about the women, and then his heart gets ripped out in the end, and you're like, oh no. And like I had that feeling, like if I wasn't so jaded, I might have been like, is Wolverine gonna die? Because he won't. Wolverine will never die. Even when he dies, he's not dead. He's still there. Because that actually happened.
There will be another Wolverine.
Yeah, they brought an old man Wolverine from the future.
There you go.
And then both of them were around for a while. Like he came back. He had hell claws that were fiery. And then old man Wolverine went back to his shitty future. Comics. Anyways, I don't know. I really enjoyed this. I think it was definitely like a succinct story about Wolverine trying to make up for what he, like, he didn't do anything wrong here, but he still feels like he did. And I liked that, right? Wolverine is a guy who can kill 100 guys and then feel bad about like something that happens that's completely unrelated to that. He's got very skewed like anti-hero morals, right?
Yes. So what did you end up feeling were the main themes of this arc?
I think it's forgiveness. Wolverine needs to forgive himself. I think the Otsko visions or hallucinations are kind of, you know, him forgiving himself or him trying to move past it, right?
Right. So were there any supporting characters that you especially liked in the arc?
No. Warren is really dumb and one-note-y.
Yeah.
And I hate to say this, but
I did like the art of his like kind of
his fire spirit. Yeah, that was really cool. I liked the art. I just think he's a one-off villain, so he's right. Just kind of there to serve the story. And he's like, not.
Oh, here's this racist bad guy that is easy to hate.
He's got a fire skeleton, yeah. And so Otsko is, unfortunately, like I said, I did a couple quick Googling. Wolverine has 4 Japanese lovers that die tragically that he couldn't save. And she's the first one. And so I'm just kind of like, she's not super unique. She's just here to serve the Brian K. Vaughan story that he wanted to tell.
But what if we put her in the MCU as the ninja?
So I think they've already put in one of his love interests in the Wolverine movie. The Yoshida woman. I'm pretty sure that in the comics he has a kid with her. But anyways.
So, character added to the MCU, who do you pick?
I would add Warren. Like, I don't think he makes, like, a main villain, but he'd be a good henchman. Like, the villain that can't die, so...
I take it you're not considering Wolverine to be part of the MCU at this point?
Oh, yeah, no, Wolverine is definitely part of the MCU.
Okay. And is he?
I mean... So I'm having a lot of fun gambling right now, so I would bet money that Old Man Logan is going to be in the MCU. Like, the Wolverine from Logan is going to be in the MCU.
Huh. That would be interesting. It is kind of, like, I do feel like Hugh Jackman has done such a really good job with Wolverine. It would be hard seeing someone else as him.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about some of this already, but was there anything that didn't work for you in particular?
I think the only thing was the dialogue in that first 2 panels was so unnecessary. And the other cool thing is that if you take out that dialogue, the beginning feels a little bit... it feels more like a Japanese movie, right? Where you have the silence in the beginning. Like, I can imagine... If it was a movie, right, you would just hear the snow crunching before you saw the footsteps kind of thing. I don't know. I think that would be really cool if that was the only concern I had, the only complaint.
Yeah, that's fair enough. I've peppered the episode with my minor complaints already, so I don't really have anything else to bring up. what would you say that you like the most about the arc?
I think I liked the art more than anything. The big shadows and then the watercolors. It was weird to me because it almost felt like Japanese manga, but also Japanese watercolors at the same time. And I thought that was a really cool look. Like, it didn't look like they were trying to do anime art. It looked more like they were inspired by multiple Japanese art forms. And I thought that was great.
So, I'm assuming this is going to get a thumbs up from both of us?
Yeah, definitely. I'd give it 2 thumbs up. Even with all my complaints, it's still a really good story. And it fits in with the main Marvel Universe really well. I like it a lot.
So the way the thumbs up system works, Greg, is that there are 2 hosts, and if both of them give a thumbs up, then it's two thumbs up.
But I have two thumbs, Jay.
That's true. And for what it's worth, your opinion is better than mine.
I get twice as excited for you. So how about I get two thumbs and you get one?
Okay, so we're at three thumbs up.
Thumbs up, everybody. A perfect score.
Brilliant.
It's good I use myself so much because nobody else is in here with me on that.
I would probably give like a B on what I would think of the...
I'd give it a B plus. Yeah. No, okay. It's really good.
Okay, so a few things before we go to the bonus episode. First off, we are switching at the start of February. So right after this goes live, we'll be switching the fee structure on Patreon. So if you haven't backed us up to this point, it should be a lot more affordable for you to do so. And you can hear our bonus episodes. And in the next one, where we spent so much time talking about Robin Hood and the world being dumb, we didn't really talk about some of the exciting Inhumans preview stuff. And so we'll probably talk about that a little bit at the start. And then we'll talk about Wolverine Endgame, and then we'll cap it off with talking about WandaVision. So stay tuned and smash the subscribe button in February, and you'll just have a great time.
Yeah. Like and subscribe.